All right, our next speaker is M. Wayne Ebelhar, and he's going to be speaking on twin row soybean corn rotation response to increased N, P, and K fertility.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. We're going to shift gears from edible crops like snap bean and potatoes into indirectly edible crops of soybeans and corn. This project is being, just to start off with, I've been in research now for almost 40+ years and more than that counting graduate school. I've worked in many crops over the years, including rice, cotton, soybeans, sunflowers, medicinal plants and herbs, so I've worked on a little bit of everything over the year. But the project that I'm going to be talking about today is a project with corn and soybeans, sponsored through the Mississippi Soybean Production Board and Promotion Board, and I wanted to thank them for their support and knowledge them up front. Just to give you a little bit of background about the study, we've got two practices that are gaining in prominence in the Mid-South. One is twin row production, where we actually plant two rows on the same bed. We're in bedded agricultural area for drainage and for irrigation, and also crop rotations. There's not been a lot of work over the years in crop rotation because for young scientists, that's kind of a career-ending move because it's hard to get publications when you work on something for 15, 20 years. But to talk a little bit about the twin row production, it has been shown to increase yields in both corn and soybeans in our area, allowing us to still use the 40-inch or 38-inch, 100-centimeter beds. These beds allow us to be able to get water on the field and off the field. Our soils are relatively impermeable because of the clay in the subsoils, that it's 2-to-1 clays that shrink and swell. So surface irrigation is a big deal for our area. Most of our land is landformed to a grade so that we do get drainage across the field. The planters, the twin row planters, were really designed initially to be used in soybeans, but we found they can be used in other crops. And the more land you go across, the less expensive per acre that planter becomes. And some of these 8 to 12 row planters cost over $100,000. And what we want to be able to do is actually increase yield without increasing the cost of the inputs going into those. With crop rotation, we see better yields, better tilth. We see better water infiltration, at least into the shallow subsoils. We're looking to increase organic matter. If you've seen some of the earlier slides from different areas talking about 2 to 3 to 4% organic matter, we would really like to have 1% organic matter on our sandy soils. Most of our soils are actually less than that. On some of the clays, we'll be up to 1.5 to 2% organic matter, but when you're in an area that has 270 to 300 days of planting season, we get a lot of decomposition occurring. It does allow us to be able in our area to rotate pesticides. We have weeds pretty much year-round, including the winter weeds, so when we start talking about resistant weeds, that's something that we really need to deal with. So the objective of this study is to combine those two operations, but we also want to look at the crop rotation. We're talking about corn and soybeans here, looking at both the standard fertility, and a lot of people have the idea if I add more fertilizer, I can increase the yield. Well, not necessarily. So we want to, in this particular study, as all of my applied research, I want to look at the economics, because the first question a farmer says, how do I pay for it? Can I make money at it? No matter what we do, we might be able to increase yield, but if we don't increase his bottom line, then that practice will not be adopted. So we look at this on the whole farm enterprise, and we also, at this particular area, we don't really recommend much corn being grown on our clay soils because of the high moisture and flooded conditions and poor internal drainage. But this particular study, we're going to grow corn and soybeans both on the soils. Now, in this case, one of the soils is a commerce. It's got sandy loam, silt loam, and silty clay loam in the same field, and that's 1,000 feet long. But we've got that much variation. The other area is a clay soil. It's a Sharkey clay, a full 2-to-1. This is a soil type that's actually changed families. And if you think about the difference between a fish and a man, this soil went from a fish to a man. So it went from an inceptisol to a verticillin, so it changed soil orders for those of you that got much soils background. We do have a 2x5 factorial looking at the at the difference between the fertility and the other combinations of systems here. They're four row plots. They're 82 feet in length, and we've got four subplots within each replication. So I call that determinations, and we've got four replications. The two soybean rotations that we're looking at is a 1-to-1 soybean to corn and a 2-to-1 soybean, 2 year soybeans, 1 year corn. We don't normally recommend multiple years of corn in the Mississippi Delta because of disease, because of insects. The two fertility systems, the standard system in this case is 246 kilograms of N, 220 pounds of N, which is kind of our standard recommendation in corn-soybean rotation. And then on the high level is 291 kilogram N per hectare, 260 pounds of N. And on both of those soil systems, we've added P and K. That's 29.3 kilograms P, and that's actual P applied as 0460, and 56 kilograms of K applied as muriate of potash. And that's applied to both corn and soybeans. Of course, the nitrogen is only applied to the corn. This shows you the two different systems. One of the things that I have found in my corn-soybean rotation is being able to actually grow both crops in a rotation in the same year. So treatment one is corn-soybean, treatment two is soybean-corn. So when I talk about the data, I will talk about individual years as they go, and you see the standard rotation systems. This shows the commerce site, where you'll see that I've replicated going down the slope, and so replication actually helps to take into account the differences between the soils in that particular field. Whereas the Sharkey clay, these are in low areas on the experiment station. The whole field is 100% Sharkey clay, very little variability across that field whatsoever. Getting into the results, this shows you, now I'm going to present this, and if you look at the bottom of the page, I'm an applied agronomist. I do a lot of extension type talks and activities, so me thinking in megagrams per hectares or metric tons per hectares doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So if you remember here that a megagram is about 16 bushels, and if you can think that 10 megagrams, 160 bushels, that might help you to realize what we're talking about. But this is the data from 2012 through 2017 showing the yields, the difference between the standard and the high fertility with respect to yield. You'll notice that in 2013, 15, 16, and 17, there was a significant difference here been going to the higher fertility. Now, I'll talk a little bit later about the differences in the fertility in the field, but this is basically a response to nitrogen. Now, this is on the stand site. Now, if we look at the soybean, now, if you look what's in red, the red CRs, the first year in 2012, that was corn in a 1 year corn, 2 year soybean rotation. So it's not followed soybeans at all. This is a new study. So we don't see the rotation effect till we get the third year. So treatment three is corn not following soybeans. Treatment four in 2013 is yields following 1 year of soybeans. Treatment five in 2014 is actually 1 year of corn following 2 years of soybeans. But I'm really concentrating here on the response to the fertility aspect of it. So you're, again, 2013, 15, 16, and 17, you see there's letters there, but we've compared all 10 treatments at the same time. So really, if you look at corn following soybeans in 2013, even though those numbers have A's beside them, there's no significant difference between those yields. So fertility really hasn't made a difference there in that particular system. Now, if you go over 2015, the same thing is true. 2016, there was a response to fertility there. So we did see a response, probably due to the fact that it's in. And you do see some variation here. If you look at 2017, there's a huge difference there. I'm not sure what's going on in 2017. My bushel test weights here were less than 50. The yields were what I would consider extremely low, and a lot of disease pressure on really strange looking corn and stuff. The only field I had it in. We shift gears to the clay site. Now this is a CEC of 35 to 40 milliequivalents per 100 grams. So the corn yields are lower. And statistically, there's only 1 year that we saw a response to fertility on the clay soil. That was in 2014. And you notice that the yields are relatively low that year. So one of the things about the clay soil sites is that they are in an area that can be flooded. So if you have a lot of water, then the potential for corn growth there because of aeration difficulties could lead to lower yields. Again, this is the same situation where we have corn following soybeans in the 1 to 2 year rotation. Again, statistically significant only in 2014. We saw 1 year there where we have a significant increase. And with respect to nitrogen, we shift gears now and look at soybeans. We're back to the Sandy Loam site. This is the soybean yield. So in 2012, the treatment one was planted to corn. 2013 is planted to soybean. Now again, for those thinking in terms of bushels per acre, you're talking about 4 megagram per hectare is about 60 bushels per acre. So with that, statistically, the first year you saw a little bit of difference there, a little bit higher yields there. Now again, this is no nitrogen, and that was just addition of P and K. So no differences in the other years. This again is looking at the 2 years of soybeans, then followed by corn. Of course, going across the years, we saw statistical significance only in 1 year. So we look at the clay site, you see nothing. If you look at the probability of F across the bottom, you'll see no statistical significance across there whatsoever. So there's no response to fertility. This is, again, in the 2 year soybean, 1 year corn rotation system again. No significant difference between the fertility. So increasing fertility, does it really make a difference? Well, that's where we get to when we start saying, well, what's going on here? What, you know, if a farmer's looking to put on fertilizer to increase yields and we don't see any response to it, really what's going on? So what we wanted to do is to take a look at the fertility. Now, most of the time you should do this a priority. Know what your soil test levels are before you start. Then you know where, but a lot of producers have the idea that, well, I'm going to add a little bit more because I know I can increase yields by adding a little bit more. So in our case, you see this is the soils data. We take this following the corn and soybean harvest across all the plots. These are averaged across all of the end plots. So there's 80 samples going into each one of these means that you see in this table. If you look at pH, we haven't seen much change in pH. We're about 6.5. This is on the Sandy Loam site. Phosphorus level. Now this is in kilograms P per hectare. Anything above about 60 to 70 kilogram P per hectare, we would not expect to see a response based on soil testing to applied P. On potash, we're looking at levels here that are above 340 to 330 to 340. We see in the first 3 years we saw a decline in the standard fertility. So that means, well, maybe we're pulling those levels down. But then this is average across 80. You look at 2015, phosphorus levels are higher than they've ever been with no phosphorus added. Potash levels are 100 kilogram higher than they've been before in some of these areas. No application. So what's going on with soil testing? Good question. I don't have an answer for that. But under the high fertility, you do see that we are higher in phosphorus, we are higher in potassium. And again, these are our organic matter levels here. And we've been up as high as 1.1. If we take a look, this is the clay site. pH is much higher in this area. Phosphorus levels are out of this world. So if you look at the potassium levels and the phosphate levels here, there's no way you should expect to get a response to added fertilizer. You might as well mine it for a little bit. And so adding additional fertility to it each year, you've got plenty of food on the table. You don't have to add any more. So to summarize, the corn grain yields, you know, we saw a response in 4 out of 6 years, at least on the Sandy Loam site, where we expect that, you know, adding more nitrogen in that case may be better. Adding additional P and K, we're really not seeing what I think is a response to the P and K. You know, the last 2 years of corn following 2 years of soybeans, we think we're starting to see some buildup there, but I think it's actually a combination of both fertility and the rotation effect. On the clay soils, we saw a response in 1 year. Rest of the time, I don't think the 1-to-1 or 2-to-1 system makes any difference with those, as long as you're able to rotate it. A lot of times now, the chemistries that we're using for resistant weeds, we're looking with about the same type of material. You know, the first thing, you know, soil test P and K are high on the sandy loam and very high on the clay. Soil test first. And there's no need to add extra fertilizer if you don't need it. So know what your levels are to start with. So with that, I will end and ask if there are any questions, if we have time for questions. Yes, sir.
So do you really think the organic matter was really increasing that much on that clay soil?
No. No. That's what I say. The soil test levels here are, you know, there's something going on here that, we, you know, and a lot of times if you get fresh material, the question was about organic matters being that high. When you soil sample, if you get any kind of fresh residue in that sample, you can mask it. And even with crop rotation, I heard somebody say earlier this morning, after 25 years, they were up almost to 0.75%. Well, for us, that'd be awesome. But the minute you start doing any kind of tillage, then you're starting to stir the fire and burn it right back up again. Any others? Well, I certainly appreciate your time and attention. Thank you.